Maybe we'll bring up Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos, Mark Flairs, if you're going to rip us.
How's that taste? Stink.
Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. We're live in the Auction Community Studios. And right now on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line is a man that is honoring the doctrine that he didn't even know exists, to be quite honest. There's Monroe Doctrine. That's pretty important.
Okay.
But the number two doctrine in America is that if you are an ESPN employee and you break news that affects the city of Phoenix, the Doug and Wolf Show will bother you. And you are somewhat but not really obligated to say yes. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL Insider, good morning. Jeremy, thank you for saying yes. Can you save us from the forces of trade requests?
Yeah, glad to be with you guys anytime. And I think it depends on what your forces are. But if the forces keep in Chandler Jones in Arizona, I do think there's a pretty good chance of that.
Well, that makes all fans feel good. If you didn't know, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN was the first person to report that Chandler Jones has requested a trade. Here's one thing to be specific, if you don't mind. If you know the answer, when did Chandler Jones request a trade? How long has this been a floating request? What's the gap between Steve Keim knowing and then you being able to go public with your information?
So I don't know the exact date, but he wasn't at mini camp. He wasn't in a lot of the off-season work. So I think that's when some of the consternation was boiling a little bit. So if I had to guess, it would probably be early summer, and I think it's more like, hey, if I'm not going to get a new contract here and you're paying everybody else but me, then let's work out something else where I can go elsewhere. And so the Cardinals do not want to do that. I'm told it was a pretty hard no. And, things can always change, especially if you get really big offers for a prime pass rusher. But, I don't have the exact date, but I'm guessing sometime in the summer, probably early.
I mean, I totally understand, Jeremy, why Chandler Jones wants a new deal. I mean, I totally get that right.
While we're at it, I do too. Go ahead.
Absolutely. But the Arizona Cardinals, from their perspective right now, I also understand their position. Do you think, Jeremy, that this is agent-driven?
No, I don't. I think it's – I don't think this is something that – Chandler Jones' people were seeking out, it's just the reality. The request was made,
mm-hmm.
So things like that tend to get out. Now, a lot of players request trades that are official or unofficial, sometimes they're not in writing. Sometimes you just start venting and are frustrated. And you tell a team, hey, if you're not going to pay me, I want out. That happens all around the league. So I think in this case, it was a pretty routine deal in that regard. You have talks with your team and you go through all the scenarios. And I'm sorry, what was the second part of the question?
No, that was it. I just wanted to know if it was, agent-driven.
I don't think so. I really don't. I think it's just something that was found out. I don't think anybody was trying to hide anything. The Cardinals obviously weren't looking to advertise that sort of thing, but I know they respect Chandler Jones greatly, not only as a player, but as a locker room guy and a great guy. And so they certainly don't want to. Even if they weren't going to give him a new deal, they don't want to disrupt the cart here. And, they want to keep good relations best as possible, even though the player has had unhappiness.
Mm-hmm. First to report, Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL Insider, saying Chandler Jones has requested a trade. And then he also told us, if you just tuned in, as of now, the Cardinals pretty much have a hard no on that. Can you see if you can expand on this, if you know, Jeremy? Tomorrow is the date where something really matters. I think most fans don't like the fact that that Chandler Jones wasn't at minicamp, but they'll get over it. But when you start missing actual training camp days and incurring the $50,000 fine, that's when it's an attention getter. To your knowledge, is a holdout in the cards, or do you expect to see Chandler Jones at camp tomorrow?
I don't expect a holdout. I expect to see him. I don't know if there's been a firm decision. I don't think there's been a firm decision. There's sort of a feeling of, well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I do know the team expects him. And in fact, I was told as far as recently that he's fired up to play with J.J. Watt. So there is an element of Chandler Jones wants – his focus, what I'm going to told, is putting together a really good season. Mm-hmm. And he was unhealthy last year, and so he's fully healthy now and recovered and wants to get back to the, the 15 to 18 sack guy that most people know. And so I do think that's the focus. That's why I don't expect a holdout. You never know if a guy's unhappy, he might decide not to show up at the last minute, but the Cardinals, from what I'm told, are expecting him.
Jeremy, what do you think the going rate for edge rushers will be in 2021?
As far as trade capital?
No, I'm talking about as far as payment, what you're going to pay somebody. What's the going rate going to be?
Yeah, that's the problem the Cardinals face here, is not that they don't want to keep Chandler Jones for on a bridge deal, you know, and have him maybe for three more years instead of one. But when you're 31 years old and you've had an injury, they don't want to pay the going rate for premier guys. You know, you look at, I guess Von Miller is a good example. You know, he got his option picked up at, what is it, set almost $18 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably for like elite guys, even in their early 30s, you're getting close to $20 million. Now, elite guys in their 20s, you're up $25 million and above. You know, you look at Joey Bosa, 27.5. I mean, T.J. Watt in Pittsburgh, if he's going to get a new deal, I don't think he's going to take anything less than $28 million a year. Like, it's going to be top of market, highest paid non-quarterback. And I think it has to be that. And so the number of that position is getting pretty outrageous. So if you're the Cardinals, you have to weigh, you know, do you pay a guy like that $20 million a year, no matter how good Chandler Jones has been? When he's 31, he's coming off an injury. So right. It's a tough call.
Pretty good move, if you didn't hear it, by Jeremy Fowler. Not sure, but giving us a good estimate. We cheated and looked it up. Von Miller, 17.5 in contract and 500,000 workout bonus. So he's at $18 million for this year. So that pretty well nails it. One of the things that's interesting, Jeremy, and how the backdrop of a potential either Chandler Jones trade will quite, well, I shouldn't say potential, it's already happened, but the holdout or non-holdout or him playing, hoping to move on, is the standing of where the Cardinals are in this division, with the opinion a lot of people have that you don't bring in A.J. Green and J.J. Watt unless it's a, let's give all the tools to this coach, see if he can handle it, see what the future is. And yet most people say the Cardinals might be a 500 but last place team at the same time because the division's so hard. How do you see the NFC West?
Well, I think you can go four different ways. I mean, you have four teams that could win it. You have four teams that could maybe go 8-8, and it wouldn't shock, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think, like, it's someone who – whoever wins the division is going to probably win 11 or 12 games, but I don't know that it's going to be more than that. I don't expect the team to run away with it. The Cardinals are better. I feel like they're better. You know, they have to show more toughness down the stretch, you know. And I know some teams are – some other execs I've talked to that – you know, they want to see what Cliff Kingsbury is really made of at this point. It's year three. You know, he's got the, you know, the system, the air raid system coming from college that has had some success, some moderate success. Kyler Murray's had some big moments. But is the team and that offense going to be tough enough where he can win December games? And that's a verdict that people are waiting to see. So I think that's why the Cardinals are not getting the benefit of the doubt. If you're looking at sort of preseason rankings, a lot of people would probably put them four for that reason. But they just got, you know, still probably a top 10 interior rusher in J.J. Watt. You got a top 10 interior offensive lineman in Rodney Hudson. A.J. Green is no longer a top 10 guy, but he's, you know, two or three years removed from being that. And you've added some pieces that say that they're all in. So I do think they've gotten better. Zayden Collins is an incredibly hot name around the draft. I think he's going to be a major player. And, you know, it's – I still don't know if they have enough pieces on defense, but I think they'll be better. And so it wouldn't surprise me if they won 8 games. It wouldn't surprise me if they won 12. They're that kind of team to me where they're a complete wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy, I have to ask you this before we let you get out of here. Aaron Rodgers, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to play?
I think it'll be Green Bay this year. I really do. And I might be in the minority, but even if he's fed up and wants to move on, you know, the team's not going to trade him. They made that very clear. I think there's a bridge you can find between the player and the team, maybe give it one more year, you know, redo his contract and give him more payment and maybe give him some trade leverage a year from now. You know, let's get through this season. You know, most teams, regardless how good Aaron Rodgers is, they don't want to necessarily trade for him on August 1st, you know, when they're already in the middle of training camp and there's a lot going on. It's just very late in the process. So the later this goes, the more scarce his options are. So, yeah, that's why I think he'll play in Green Bay this year and somewhere else next year.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL Insider, nice enough to join us. Last question is all about you. Since you gave us your time, plug yourself. When's the next time you're on TV, Jeremy?
Oh, boy. I do weekend sports centers, so, you know, 7 a.m. to noon throughout the day, Saturday and Sunday. And then, you know, I pop in from time to time. I do get up or morning show here and there. Probably, I think Friday I'm doing that. So, and we have ESPN Plus has some streaming content with all our NFL reporters today and tomorrow. So myself, Adam Schefter, Dan Graziano, Kimberly Martin will be on a national news show tomorrow at late afternoon. So that'll be fun. So fans can join in ESPN Plus, ask questions. Check it out. We'll be talking about the NFL.
Jeremy, thank you so much for your time, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, you too. There's Jeremy Fowler, NFL insider, ESPN. First to break the Chandler Jones has a trade request in, but his speculation does not lead him to think that that will go to a holdout stage.
Interesting.
We'll give you what we know coming up next for The One. As we appreciate Jeremy Fowler joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a pre-owned car, you got to check out the selection of the Coulter Cadillac courtesy vehicles at CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Coming up next, the future of Chandler Jones as a Cardinal on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
Everybody I've talked to this offseason about Chandler Jones has said the Cardinals aren't going to trade him.
Business is business. You know, you let that sort of stuff out.
We've been in communication with both guys. We know the situations.
Have you picked up the phone to talk to the agent about a contract extension?
I won't get into those. They're private.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Really interesting dynamic at play here on how the Arizona Cardinals handle this going forward. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. We're in the Auction Community Studios. And your one is that training camp starts tomorrow, and we assume Chandler Jones will be there. We assume he does not want to incur a $50,000 fine. And then our assumption was backed up by speculation. And that is Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL insider, just got off the phone with us, and we asked him, from what you know, as the first man to report Chandler Jones did specifically request a trade, what's your feeling about him coming to camp tomorrow? Do you think there's a potential of a camp holdout?
I don't expect a holdout. I expect to see him. I don't know if there's been a firm decision. I don't think there's been a firm decision. There's sort of a feeling of, well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I do know the team expects him, and in fact, I was told as far as recently that he's fired up to play with J.J. Watt. You know, so there is an element of Chandler Jones wants his focus. What I'm going to told is putting together a really good season, and he was unhealthy last year, and so he's fully healthy now and recovered, and wants to get back to the, you know, the 15 to 18 sack guy that most people know, and so I do think that's the focus. That's why I don't expect a holdout. You never know if a guy's unhappy, he might decide not to show up at the last minute, but, the Cardinals, from what I'm told, are expecting him.
Yeah. You know what? I expect him as well. I think he's going to show up tomorrow, and I think he's going to go about his business. He's a pro's pro. This is a guy that is not a malcontent by nature whatsoever. His personality is one of going out and giving everything he's got. It's one of the reasons why he has fulfilled this contract, in my opinion, to the degree in which he has. Chandler Jones, this was one of the best contracts anybody has ever signed, when you stop and think about it, from both parties' perspectives. The Arizona Cardinals got everything out of Chandler Jones that this contract wanted to and hoped to. And yet Chandler Jones lived up to this contract in every way, shape, and form. To me, it was a perfect contract for both entities right here. And going forward, I expect Chandler Jones to be the pro that he is, play and let his play speak for itself and let the chips fall where they may.
I also think he holds more cards than he realizes in the future, but not necessarily that now. You did not make moves for J.J. Watt and A.J. Green in order to give up a Chandler Jones. I mean, you talk about being on the clock. I think the recent moves of Steve Keim, and namely the DeAndre Hopkins trade, are so strong, I don't think Steve Keim enters the season on the hot seat. I think his head coach 100% enters the season on the hot seat. And therefore, the worst thing you can do to take your knees out from underneath the guy you just put on the hot seat is to trade his best pass rusher.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make a lot of sense. But if they have to fire fire the head coach and they go on to another one, then yes, Steve Keim does move back onto the hot seat because now you're on another coach. And they're not just going to get rid of that coach. They'll get rid of you before the next guy. So that's kind of the tenure. It doesn't make sense to make these moves and then decide to move on from Chandler Jones. From a Chandler Jones standpoint, you're going to, I assume, get amazing sack numbers being on the same line with J.J. Watt. So you've got this opportunity. If the Cardinals aren't that good this year, they're going to want to get something for you now before you walk.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you will get your trade that you wanted. And if they do well, and you are a reason why they did well, you're going to get what you want in your next contract somewhere else.
Yeah, I expect Chandler Jones to have a big year as well. I expect him to have a monster year, as a matter of fact, with J.J. Watt across from him. I think J.J. Watt is not going to be on the other edge, ladies and gentlemen. I think he's going to line up as that three technique opposite of Chandler Jones an awful lot. And, of course, they'll pair them from time to time, Chan on the edge and J.J. Watt lined up inside of him. I could totally see them running games and doing that in certain down and distances and passing situations. I could see them doing that, Doug Lease. But, again, I think this is going to be a copacetic relationship for Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt, feeding off the other and putting them on the opposite side of the ball, one on the interior, that being J.J. Watt, and then one on the edge with Chandler Jones. I cannot wait to see it. Think about this. The Arizona Cardinals last year, they were number five in the league in sacks per attempt without Chandler Jones. Chandler played, what, five games? He had one sack. One sack in five games. I think that's part of the reason why the Arizona Cardinals are taking this. Hey, Chan, we want to make sure you're healthy. We want to take this wait-and-see approach to you and your health as to whether or not you're going to be able to go out there and be as productive as you once were. You're 31 years old. You're going to be 32 after this season. We've already got you under contract at 15.5 for this season right here. We want to make sure you're going to be healthy after the five games you played last year and one sack and then tore your bicep. It's really an easy decision, I think, for the Arizona Cardinals to make. And it's as
easy as in we're not giving you anything right now.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We're going to take a wait-and-see approach. And I think for Chandler Jones as well, it's an easy decision. Show up and ball.
It is interesting to see if he does make any decision. Like, showing up is one thing, but are you going to show up and be active? Is he going to show up to camp tomorrow to avoid the fine, but then sit around and do nothing?
Be the leader that he's always been.
Yeah, and say, oh, yeah, I just had this magical knee injury that just flared up and become a soccer flopper or something, and you can't go in the run test. And that's his way out of actually being active but not having to worry about the fines. If that occurs,
I'll be blown away. Way if that occurs.
If that does occur, I wonder if they would be able to talk to the Cardinals about the franchise tag. I could see Chandler Jones being of the opinion, listen, I'll suck up the last year of my contract. I signed this contract. I'm here. But what I want to avoid is me having a great year. And instead of getting that one last big contract, you franchise me and now I'm stuck. Now, he doesn't have to sign a franchise tag, but he can't go anywhere unless they trade him. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to sign you when you've been tagged. So if he could get the Cardinals to acquiesce and say, we promise not to franchise you, then I bet an active Chandler Jones is at camp. But we'll see. We'll see what he does tomorrow.
I'm just so glad you brought that up because it gives me an opportunity to say there is no way in the world Chandler Jones is going to show up and pull that joke. There's no way in the world he's going to show up and all of a sudden he's going to fake an injury. That is not the Chan that I will be absolutely crushed if that is the case, Doug Lease.
Would you say, however, Chandler Jones is the type of person that would never miss a minicamp?
Well, minicamp is a little bit different.
I'm not saying it's not the end of the world, but isn't he not that type of person?
Yes. No, he's not that type of person.
Isn't
but
he
a
not?
Minicamp is not training camp.
Right.
If he showed up and, oh, my hamstring. Really, Chan? That is not who you are, dude. I know that for a fact. That's not who he is. Oh, my, look, everybody. It's my elbow. No.
How much of what you're saying is right, and how much is hope?
I know.
You
Chandler
hope he
Jones.
Doesn't do that.
I know him. That's not who he is. No way. And if he does, Chan, I'm sorry, man. I'm going to be crushed. Ball out. That's the only answer for Chan. It is. It's the only way out, baby. Ball out. I'm not coming off that, Douglas. I'm just telling you. Don't look at me.
I admit that was 15 years waiting to see just how convicted you were.
Yeah.
That was one of the greatest answers in the history of the Doug and Wolf show.
That was the hard-hitting cowboy from earlier this morning when asked if he's ever been punched in the face and had a bloody lip.
Yeah.
had to go back in the memory bank and remember what that night was like for him.
All right. That was so good, Cowboy.
If you want to, you can text us the FanDuel text line at 620-620 and tell us who's the last person that punched you in the face. You want to tell us a story? Go right ahead. Coming up next, Team USA looked bad. Is it fixable, A? B, do you care? C, what does it mean for D-Book? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Chris Haynes first to report, Earl Watson close to a deal to be a Raptors assistant.
Wow.
So congratulations to Earl Watson, nice. Former Suns head coach, for moving there. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Team USA could not out-rebound France, and we were invaded by Evan Fournier.
Brutal. Just absolutely brutal to watch that. The U.S. Olympic team playing France, and suddenly they get pounded by Vive la France. And we all know how badly that hurt right there. The first time Team USA has lost a game in basketball in 17 years in the Olympics. That is truly stunning right there. It was so funny.
We could not stop the French invasion of the paint.
On social media, of course, we absolutely got ravaged on social media because we were laughing at the French. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
people don't understand. We weren't laughing at the basketball team.
No, no.
We were laughing at Vive la France. That's what we were laughing at.
The U.S. put the Maginot Line at the top of the key and just let the French go right through it every time.
It's the French Riviera we were laughing at. Okay? it's really amazing right there. We were not laughing.
Will you ever go to France?
Rudy Gobert. I honestly would.
Yeah.
I would if the Warrior Queen, of course, wanted to.
Because as soon as you started ripping the French Riviera, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm in on that.
I don't feel compelled to do it. I really don't. I don't feel compelled to travel.
Once the girls are gone, you know, like living their life away from the house, then I want to do the Mediterranean cruise because I want to sample a bunch of different things around the Mediterranean to decide, okay, what am I going to go back and really plunk down the money for?
Yes.
So do Barcelona, French Riviera, Italian Riviera, mix in Rome, of course, a little bit of Greece, and then decide, okay, what did I like the best? I'm going back there.
Yeah. Malta. You know what? I'd like to go hang out at Malta.
Okay. Now,
yeah. The Knights Templar, of course, fighting the Ottoman Turks, of course.
Does it bother you that you would need to check in with your travel guide? Your choices are Dave Pasch or John Gambadoro.
I don't know what.
You got to talk to one of them before a trip to the Mediterranean, don't you?
Dave Pasch is so big based on what he's on Tuscany. He absolutely loves Tuscany. That's where he loves to go, right? I think Dave loves Europe. He's Mr. European. Loves that right there. By the way, at Pasch Pod, Dave Pasch has got a new podcast. Interesting, is it not? David came on this morning, was talking about that very thing, but I can tell you right now, man, Dave Pasch loves himself some Tuscany. That much I know.
So the U.S. men's team, after this loss, now takes on Iran. That game is coming up in the middle of the night on Wednesday. So I actually believe for us, it's super late tomorrow night. I think it's Wednesday morning Eastern time.
Yeah.
Wednesday in Japan, but Tuesday night for us. And here's what's strange about it is in order for the U.S. to advance, one of the criteria is point differential now. Because they've lost to France, so they're probably not going to win their actual pool. So if they want to get into the medal round, they have to beat everybody else and make sure they do it convincingly. So U.S. versus Iran. According to betting odds,
yeah,
the prediction stands at 100-65. I think it's going to be a lot bigger than a 35-point gap.
Okay, 100-65 right there. What do you think the odds are that Iran could pull the upset, first of all? What? Do they give me the odds on that?
I think, honestly, I'm not joking. I think it would be the second biggest Olympic upset in the history of the games.
And what are you going to say is the first?
U.S. over CCCP in the 1980 Olympics.
Okay. Do you believe in miracles?
I mean, keep in mind that that hockey team, the Soviet Red Army team,
it was for the silver. Right?
It was for the right to go to the medal game, and then the medal game would win you gold or silver.
Yes.
This one was to avoid the bronze medal game, but. Here's the thing about that game, which is crazy, is that the Soviet Red Army team had just beaten the Rangers in an exhibition.
Yeah.
And now you're facing a bunch of college kids, and you lose. And they had beaten the college kids. If you're a hockey historian, help me out. It was something like 9-1 in an exhibition, and they weren't even trying. So if Iran's not topping that, but if they beat Kevin Durant,
yes,
it's the second biggest upset in the history of the Olympics.
Oh, my goodness.
From a guy who is not an Olympic historian
just
whatsoever.
Right now, based on Inza, how do you feel about that? If Iran were to pull the upset on Team USA, oh, my goodness, could there be? What, Mitch? You wanted to say something right now? That, to me, would be, oh, my goodness, that would be barf bag material. It would be. But that's not going to happen, right? Here we go. You brought that point differential up because you think that Team USA might try to actually run Iran on that one, right? Run up the score.
Absolutely.
And why wouldn't you do it? Of course. You have to do it. International play, forget about that.
They're the ones
good sport.
They're the ones that set it up. Why, yeah, I mean, hey.
This is going to be good, as we like to say, the Wolfly Compound.
I'm entertained by that possibility. Football season is here, and we're getting you ready with the Valley Virtual Series Training Camp Edition. Text CAMP to 620-620 to receive a link to this exclusive event where you're here from your Arizona sports host, and you'll have the chance to win prizes like tickets or autographed memorabilia. Just text CAMP to 620-620. Arizona Sports Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold. Get your price. Something just happened on Twitter. It grabbed my attention. New COVID protocol, and I think you should know about it, because if you didn't think the NFL was serious, they just did it again. Now, if you are unvaccinated and you break any COVID protocol, immediate $14,000, $650 fine. $14,650.
Yeah, BA was talking about this the other day.
Every day. Every time. Any unvaccinated player who breaks a COVID protocol. If you break a COVID protocol as a vaccinated player, A, you have a lot fewer protocols anyway, but it doesn't matter. Unvaccinated, boom, $14,500.
Just unbelievable right now, right? The vaccination rate, again, is creeping up towards 80% in the National Football League overall. And they've got teams, half the teams in the league supposedly have a vaccination rate over 80%. But the NFL is getting serious about this once again. This is something they will not tolerate. They want near 100% vaccination rates. And they're doing everything they can to ensure that happens, and this is further proof of that.
And something else is going on today. It's one of the great things in all of sports is happening today that not a lot of people know about.
What?
The Green Bay Packers are a publicly owned team.
Correct.
And therefore, because of the Securities and Exchange Commission, you have to have a board meeting. So every year, the Packers hold a stockholders meeting in their stadium, and they report to the stockholders what's going on. Packers fans tailgate for this day and walk into the stadium, and there's actually an open mic. I mean, imagine you as a Cardinals fan getting to say something to the president, the GM, you know, whatever, as part of the open conversations between you as a stockholder. Well, that's happening today. And at today's meeting, the president went on,
Mark Murphy,
for an extended time to tell everyone how much he appreciates, respects, and his confidence in his general manager.
Wow. Okay.
So the Aaron Rodgers versus Gutekunst thing, it didn't take a turn, but it was the president standing up when everybody was watching, and it was, hey, this is our guy. And somebody in the crowd stood up and yelled, has he ever thrown a touchdown pass?
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious, Doug?
Yes. Yes. That's so far, that's the latest up to date on what's going on.
Oh, my goodness. That is awesome.
He did say, quote, we are working tirelessly with Aaron and his representatives to resolve the issues, and we hopefully will have a positive resolution soon.
Yeah, but once again, just Mark Murphy getting up there and backing.
It was important.
Codes and that's, yes. It's huge. It's letting Aaron Rodgers know, hey, listen, if you think it's going to come down to us firing Gutekunst, it's never going to happen. That's what Mark Murphy basically just said.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next, the latest on Chandler Jones and the potential that his trade request could turn into a holdout. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Jeremy Fowler is an ESPN NFL insider. He was the first reporter to break Chandler Jones news that he has requested a trade officially from the Arizona Cardinals. By the way, in case you're wondering about the CBA and the rules that govern players and teams, that means nothing. That doesn't start any kind of formal process where the Cardinals are forced to do something. It just goes public. So basically, there's a timeline where you request a trade from the team, and then at some point you feel like they're not doing enough for you, so you let it slip to the media, so it goes public that you've requested a trade. Therefore, you hope that spurs something in order for the team to do it, but it also tries to show, hey, I'm serious. You want people to know you're upset and don't want to be here. For some teams, they don't like that going public, and they do work harder at trading you. Other teams say, we ignored you before, we'll just keep ignoring you.
You know,
and that's kind of what Jeremy Fowler says he thinks is going to happen when I asked him, can you save us from the forces of a Chandler Jones trade?
Well, I think it depends on what your forces are, but if the forces keeping Chandler Jones in Arizona, I do think there's a pretty good chance of that.
Okay.
That's good right there. You know what? Thank you, Jeremy. That's very encouraging. To me, the fact that Chan wants a new contract, as I said earlier, it's not surprising at all. If I'm Chandler Jones, I want a new contract as well because I want future security with that contract. The fact that he requested a trade, that is surprising to me. It is. Because it doesn't sound like Chandler Jones to me. That's just me, and I could be absolutely dead wrong. And I will also tell you right now, if Chandler Jones shows up, and there was a question as to whether or not he was going to show up, and you asked Jeremy Fowler that very question, whether or not Chandler Jones was going to show up at training camp. And there seemed to be little doubt in his mind that he was going to show up, correct?
I don't expect a holdout. I expect to see him. I don't know if there's been a firm decision. I don't think there's been a firm decision. There's sort of a feeling of, well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I do know the team expects him. And in fact, I was told as far as recently that he's fired up to play with J.J. Watt, you know?
It's really going to be interesting to see how Chandler Jones handles this. Option A is he holds out and incurs a $50,000 fine every day he's not there. Option B, he shows up but does nothing. Fakes an injury, acts like he can't go, stays away from really the activities until he gets what he wants from either a contract or trade or some kind of discussion. Then there's kind of option C, which is he shows up and almost blames the media. Kind of denies it. Listen, I never did this. I never asked for a trade. I'd like a new car, you know, whatever. Or he just comes out and owns it. and says, listen, you can count on me. I'm going to work hard every day. But yes, I asked for a trade. I want to go to a team that wants to show me the commitment on a new contract, and I hope to play for someone else. But I'm going to keep playing while I'm here.
Option B is the one that I think is no way in the world. There's no way. Nobody's ever going to be able to convince me that Chandler Jones, Chan, of all people, would show up to training camp and then, my hamstring or my elbow, something's wrong with me. You know, no way. That is not the Chan that I know. Now, again, I may be dead wrong. Oh, my goodness. I may be so dead wrong on that, but I will be shocked if that is the case with Chandler Jones. Just not who he is. Dude shows up. Dude balls. Great guy. Great football player. Team leader. Great talent. Shows up and balls out. Doesn't take that pacifier route. No way. We'll see. But you know what, honestly, right now, going into training camp, I have to tell you, Chandler Jones is part of the reason why I am bullish on this team and their playoff chances going forward. This is a team that I do believe is going to be able to generate pressure defensively on opposing quarterbacks. And if their rush defense improves, and this is something I think J.J. Watt is going to have a big impact with, the fact that he is a team leader and a guy that takes an awful lot of pride in playing the run and doing it well, from a 5 technique to a 3 technique, which is lined up over the guard, 5 technique over the tackle. J.J. Watt is a guy that uses his hands very, very well, plays the run and does it well, takes a lot of pride in the dirtiness of rundown situation. And that's one of the reasons why I think the Cardinals are going to improve in rundown situation. And they've got to. They have to. They were in the lower third, the bottom third, as a matter of fact, in the league in rushing yards per game and rushing yards per play. Those two things, you put them together, that was the Achilles heel of the Arizona Cardinals defense last year. Their rush defense. They've got to get better. And it's one of the reasons why I love Chan in that situation, too. He does a great job of setting the edge. Chandler Jones and setting that edge and playing the run is something that he does well in rundown situations. So this is really, really important that Chandler Jones does indeed show up and comes with a great attitude of, you know what, okay, fine. If you're not going to sign me to a contract extension, I'm going to make it impossible on you. Because I'm going to go out there and I'm going to have a 19-sack season again. I might even get 20 this year. If Chandler Jones wants to put the Arizona Cardinals teat, so to speak, in a ringer, as Gene Stallings used to say, go out and have an incredible year of getting to the quarterback and being disruptive. If he does that, he's going to get paid again, either here or somewhere else.
I'm keeping an eye on the tweets as it relates to the Green Bay Packers stockholders meeting that's going on. And obviously this is speculation, but it's being reported by people that are there that fans did not really boo much for Gutekunst. A couple did, but not much. The loudest boos were the announcement that it will still be a violation of NFL protocols for players to ride children's bikes to training camp practice.
Man, I did not see that coming.
If you don't know, it is a great tradition for the Green Bay Packers players. All the kids line up at an area so the players will get on their bike. And then you double up. And an NFL player rides your bike with you on it to the actual practice field. It's been going on for years. And the second year in a row, that will not be happening because of COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what sent them into a frenzy.
So did they say anything about the name Aaron Rodgers and the mention of Aaron Rodgers? Did that get any buzz?
Didn't get any boos, but more and more people are saying he's serious. He's not coming, and he's just going to sit out and or retire and wait to see what happens. The big news about Aaron Rodgers and the reason why this is kind of important is Mark Murphy, the president, came out at the very beginning of the stockholders meeting and told everybody how much faith, trust, and confidence he has in Goody Kuntz, his general manager. And it was not – people are perceiving it to be not the fake seal of approval, vote of confidence, things like that. And when you start your presser with it, it does seem like you're drawing a line in the sand. And he also called the most valuable asset for the Packers Lambeau Field.
What do you think he meant by that, Lambeau Field?
I think what he meant by that is we're the Green Bay Packers. We're bigger than any one player. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to retire, knock yourself out. I think it's going to be a Carson Palmer-like thing. I am starting to believe Aaron Rodgers is going to retire this year, and then at some point around week 3 or 4, they'll trade him.
Yeah, and you may be right on that one, Douglas.
They weren't afraid to trade Brett Favre.
There's no way in the world he's done. There's no way. But just thinking of Aaron Rodgers right now, I think Aaron Rodgers went into this thinking, you know what, I'll go ahead because I don't like Goody Kuntz. I don't like him. And I'm going to go in and I'm going to get him out of here. And the one way I can do it is say, it's me or you. And maybe it blew up in his face and he never thought that was going to be the case. And now he's just dragging it to the very end because he refuses to recant. Maybe that's what's going on.
I'm going to hit the you in just a second, but I got to tell you, when you send us the text on the FanDuel text line, please include your name. And normally I won't read it if you don't. But this guy texted and said, the last time I got punched in the face was game 2 of the Western Conference Finals when DeAndre Ayton soared and scored the Valley Oop, and we were celebrating so hard that it happened accidentally. But I didn't realize it until I woke up.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. Had a little blood on the face. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I think I said NBA Finals. He wrote Western Conference Finals, man. I'm still not over it, are you?
Mm. How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway is a fantastic article in The Athletic by Chris Vanini, who says, if college football in the South is so huge, why were Europeans able to rise up in soccer to stop a big conglomerate from forming, and yet you haven't stood up to Texas and Oklahoma?
Okay, Basinonians, Chandler Jones is going to show up and ball out, right?
Wait, what?
Peace and strength!
Was that a question?
Cowboy, have you ever been punched in the face where your nose was bleeding? I know you have. You had to be punched in the face. I mean, at some point in time.
Yeah.